17 past 7 on Sabah al-Muslim Drive Time. Who will succeed President Jacob Zuma? That is the question raised by well-known political analyst Max Dupriel in a recent opinion piece that he wrote at the time of the ANC Women's League conference when they declared that President Jacob Zuma's successor should be a woman. All indications are that the race for a successor is on within the party, even though Lithuli House has been adamant that there is no such race. Some of the names in the hat are that of Zuma's ex-wife, Inkosazana Dlamini Zuma, current Deputy President Cyril Ramaphosa, the ANC Secretary General Gwede Mantashe, Speaker of Parliament Baleka Mbete, and some even talking about Zweli Mkhize. Well, to discuss this issue further, we are joined this morning on the line by Max Dupriya. Max, thank you so much for your time. Much appreciated. Good morning and welcome to Radio Islam.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you very much.
What's the ANC Women's League conference and elections a key moment for you in terms of indication as to the race within the ANC to succeed Zuma?
It was the clearest signal to me that the minds are being applied to the succession race and that I saw President Zuma's hand in it. So suddenly, yes, I knew for certain the ball has started rolling. It was clear that what was happening at the Women's League conference was planned. It didn't just happen. People didn't just say things. It came a long way. I think the whole election of people at the Women's League was planned beforehand by Lithuli House. So yes, suddenly here it comes, and the noble thought, we are ready for a female president.
No.
Now, the simple bottom line is the person who is the deputy president, who's supposed to be the president, is not a female. So it's got to be somebody else. And then there's only one name that really comes to mind, and that's Nkosazana Dlamini Zuma.
Now, initially there was this perception that Angie Motshekga, who was the president of the Women's League, was very firmly in the Zuma camp and that she would do anything to ensure that the Zuma agenda was secured. Why do you think she was replaced if, as you say, the Zuma camp had a hand in the way things played out? Was it perhaps because she was not pushing this hard enough that the next president should be a female?
It's not very clear. You know, it's very hard. It's one of the sort of arts in South Africa now to try and find out who's in and who's out in the ANC, who's in the Zuma camp, who's moving in, who's moving out. I remember reading recently on one day that one newspaper said Bheki Cele, former commissioner of police, is back in Zuma favor, and I'd open the other newspaper and it says, oh, hello, we can tell you Bheki Cele is now finally out. So it's hard to say, but I think the Zuma inner circle found new people to work with, and Angie Motshekga had recently, or last year, or 18 months ago, said South Africa is not ready for a female president. I know her husband, Matola Motshekga, is falling a bit out of favor in the party, so this is the passing show, the musical chairs in the ANC. And all we know is that there is, in charge of all of this is the master strategist, somebody that we've never seen a figure like this operate in South Africa, and that is President Zuma. He is very clever. He's a tactician like we have never seen before. So he's survived every prediction, even those of myself, that his career was coming to an end. He is the ultimate survivor. And the question now is, does he want to be president up to 2019? I'm told he's expressed the opinion, yes, he wants to. Do I think that he will get there? I do not think so. I think his limits are now the elective conference in 2017. Because in between we're going to have the local election, that's next year, and I think it's quite easy to predict that the ANC is going to hurt a little bit in the cities, especially Joburg, Pretoria, and Port Elizabeth, and that there will be a shift in the party to say, if we keep on losing support like this, 2019 could be an ugly date for us, so maybe we need good leadership. It's a bit like rugby, you know. When we do well, we we praise the coach, and when we lose, we say that coach is so bad, we've got to fire him immediately. So he's got to survive that. He's got to survive a court challenge. Those are the other variables that are before us that we can't predict. If the court says to the DA, yeah, you're correct, President Zuma should be charged again with corruption and money laundering, now that court case could take place early next year. And that would mean the president in court for 4 or 5 months every day. Mm-hmm. Now, that would be untenable, certainly. The biggest question that I think business community is also asking is, will it be their favorite Cyril Ramaphosa? Not because he's a big-time capitalist or soft on business, just because he knows business. He is the most presidential, I think people say, in the ANC. He's an efficient man. He's charismatic. So there's a broad hope from especially the business community that if we get Cyril Ramaphosa as our president, the country will be more efficient. The civil service will be more efficient. We will have more policy clarity.
With regard to Zuma, it's very interesting how you've described it, the master strategist, the ultimate survivor. It's difficult to understand how he fortifies himself and how he plays this political game so well. Many South Africans just see him as a president with all these scandals and all these allegations of inefficiency, but the behind-the-scenes political game that he plays so well, have you been able to pick up on what are two of his key strategies that has enabled him to survive for so long?
Yeah, I think we can point at a couple of things. The first thing is he has endeared himself to the security establishment. His loyal people are in the police, in the army, and especially in the intelligence services. He handpicks those people. He handpicks the national executive and the broader leadership of the ANC. He surrounded them with powerful people loyal to him in those camps. The security thing, the intelligence matter, is very important. It means he has his finger on the pulse. He knows who's saying what, who's thinking what in the ANC. I suppose one can also say he has then dirt on everybody. So that's the one strategy, like stocking all the important power structures of power with people who are loyal to him. The other one is a more difficult one to talk about, is one of ethnicity. The ANC received 39% of the vote in KwaZulu-Natal in 1994, and last year it got 64.3%. So almost doubled the support. KwaZulu-Natal is by far the strongest block of support for the ANC. And he is the man who brought that support, and he makes people know that and understand that. So that's a very important thing, touch me and you touch this block of sensitive nationalist kind of people. The third thing I would say is he's seen a similar phenomenon that we saw in Zimbabwe, where the liberation movement is losing support in the middle class and in the cities. And President Zuma has predicted this, and he's shifted the attention to the rural areas. He's been courting the chiefs and the headmen now for several years, and he's put forward legislation that gives them more powers. His big dues are always somewhere in the deep rural areas, and that's been very successful.
Now, you've mentioned that Cyril Ramaphosa looks most presidential, business likes him, he comes across as charismatic, as an efficient person. We hear arguments that Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, although she didn't do all that well in the initial years as health minister, she's also considered very efficient, she's also considered as a person who can get the job done. Would she be far off in terms of ability as compared to Ramaphosa if indeed she were to succeed Jacob Zuma?
I do not think so. I think very highly of Mrs. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma. She did, as you say, struggle a little bit during her first job as minister under President Nelson Mandela. But then she became Minister of Foreign Affairs after health, and then she became Minister of Home Affairs, and she turned around Home Affairs. Remember, people in 20 years ago, it took you 6 months to get an ID book and a passport. She turned that around very, very efficiently. She is now the chairperson of the African Union Commission, and people say the African Commission is working smoothly. They've finished their projects. Their budgets are well-controlled. So, yes, I think she is a highly intelligent person with a high work rate and work ethic. And never, apart from one little instance in 95 with the Serafina play, never has a finger been of corruption been pointed away. So if we get Nkosi Sono Dlamini Zuma as our next president, that we should also be happy with that. That to me is the nice thing of this whole talk that we're having. Whichever way we're going to go, whether it's going to be Cyril Ramaphosa and Nkosi Sono Dlamini Zuma or Zweli Mkhize, those are three good, really good candidates. They would make good presidents.
Final question, Max. There's been, on a slightly unrelated issue, there has been a lot of debate in the last week or two about the media being very anti-Zuma and being very unfair to Zuma despite his weaknesses and his inadequacies. The editor of the Citizen newspaper has written a public apology. Mohsen Williams has come out saying that the media almost plays the role of opposition parties, and somewhere in there, your name has also been mentioned. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I find it very, very unfortunate and a little bizarre, especially the editor of the Citizen's piece suddenly jumping up after having been editor for 2 years, right in the middle of the Nkandla scandal and all these things, and now is jumping up and saying, mea culpa, I'm so sorry, I'm tearing my clothes and I'm putting ash on my head, I've been bad to our president. And Mohsen Williams is also saying, why is the media operating as an opposition? Well, the media is in opposition to anybody in power. They're in opposition to all people who wield power over citizens, because that's the job. You inform, but you also a watchdog over the interests of ordinary people. And we can argue whether the media have ordinary people's interests at heart. But we cannot argue with the fact that they have a role to oppose everybody in power on all levels and even in the business community. So, yeah, I think it's very sad. I suspect these two editors, the letters coming, the articles coming shortly after one another, I suspect somebody is speaking to somebody. I think the Thule House had made a few calls and made a few house visits. I don't know what they threatened them with or what they promised them. But this is very unfortunate. What we need in the media, we look around us, and South Africa is in a bit of a mess. We're facing a bit of a crisis. We're not doing well with our challenges of unemployment and poverty and inequality. And media should push harder for more accountability and more efficiency and more clean government, not less.
Max, thank you so much for your time this morning. It was a pleasure speaking to you. I hope to do it more often in the future.
Thank you very, very much.
Have a great day, sir. Go well.
Goodbye.
Bye. That was well-known political analyst Max Dupriya. He recently wrote an opinion piece for News 24 about who is likely to succeed President Jacob Zuma. He gave all his analysis there. He said Zuma is the master strategist, the best political tactician that we've seen. The country, by and large, see him as an inefficient president who doesn't know what's happening, however you pronounce it. And he's limping from one disaster to the other. But the one thing that he is very good at is better than most people, or even everyone so far within the ANC, is winning the internal political battles that put him on the top position. He's outlasted and succeeded all predictions of his demise, and this time around it looks like he wants to orchestrate who will succeed him. He wants to put his former wife, Nkosi Sono Dlamini Zuma, in that position. Let's see how that plays out. And towards the end, Max telling us about his thoughts on the accusation against media that they are unfair to Zuma and they play the role of an opposition party and not impartial conveyors of facts and opinion to the population. It's just gone past 7:30. Time now for the latest news headlines and traffic. After that, we will continue, inshallah, with the tafsir of Suratul A'raf.